Okay, first I'd like to welcome those who incentives brought them over here, Baruch Hashem. The guys who are clapping are the guys who are here every week. I remember 2 years ago I was not officially in the yeshiva, I was coming in, and I came around this time and I gave my shmooz. I'm like, wow, they really like me. And then someone says, no, they're paid to be here this week. So, but it's supposed to have everybody here. So, we're in the middle of a topic here, but you can get, whoever missed the last one can, actually, we basically said that we've been in a process of many, many shmuzin, all of them building on each other. But what we've been trying to discuss is the inyan called Emunas Chachamim. We pointed out that if a person wants to be immersed in Torah, so the Aleph base, the ABCs of learning Torah is to realize how real the Torah is, how real Chazal are. If a person thinks that Chazal are pretty smart, so then they read it like a book of someone who's pretty smart. If they believe that they're Iluyim, so they read it like Iluyim, like they're reading something of someone who's super intelligent. But that's not how we come to Chazal at all. We come to Chazal as Dvar Hashem, which is something of infinite wisdom. Chazal, who are bringing us our Mesorah, are telling us things that it's a Chiddush that we can even read them in a book. Bichlal, it's a Chiddush that we can tap into them. So the starting point of taking learning seriously, to really begin, is having emuna in the people who gave it to us. Like we said, the Mechilta says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. There are two types of emuna you need in life. You need emuna in Hashem, and you need emuna in Moshe Avdo. You need emuna in the Shluchim of Hashem. Because if you have a flaw in those who are the Chachmei Mesorah, in how you view them, then our connection with Hashem in our learning process is over. And that's why the Rambam, when he brings different types of apikorsis that a person can have, the Rambam writes that in addition to the apikorsis of denying the Mesorah, there's another element that the Briskers are Medayik, and it's Pashup Shah in the Rambam. It's someone who's makhish magideha, someone who defames or lowers the status of Chazal, who makes them regular people. Such an idea is an apikorsis, because it undermines the entire Mesorah. It undermines everything that we stand for. The truth is, though, before you can even start emuna, believing in something, which we said emuna doesn't mean just belief, it means to trust. You have to ask yourself if you want to trust somebody. Right? There are a lot of ramifications for trusting someone. We pointed out last week, if someone wants to trust the Surgeon General's warnings on cigarettes, so they have to want that, even if they think he's saying MS, but it's tight. You know, if a person's well in it, so it's hard to stop smoking. Similarly with all the things in life. Even if you see MS in your face, you're not always going to believe things because of convenience. There's a Maisa that they tell over in Tells. It's a Masaira. It's written up in the Shiri Das and also in the Mariel Diskin's biography, The Seraph of Brisk, that there was once a group of Maskilim. The Maskilim in the last generations in Europe were these big troublemakers, big apikarsim. They knew a lot. They caused a lot of trouble. And they were really a disease in the body of Klal Yisrael. And these maskilim, there was a guy named Davidoff, and Davidoff and his friend Leviton, they lived together, and after the semester in the college, wherever he was, Davidoff came back to his friend Leviton, and Rachmana Litzlan, I don't know what happened, why he didn't go, but he committed suicide in the attic of their dira. Anyway, so Leviton's life moves on, but you know, not too long after, and he's sitting there in his dira, and on the first floor, he notices at a certain point in the night that there are clumps of the ceiling falling down, and in a methodical, systematical way, boom, 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 and it's almost like someone scraping. So obviously, this is not good for Mr. Maskil. You know, he was also scared of the boogeyman. Even Maskilim are afraid of the boogeyman. And this was crazy. And he called his maskilim friends, and they decided to play poker over there to figure out what's going on. And they stayed up through the night, they were playing poker, and all of a sudden, like clockwork, all of a sudden, boom, boom, clumps of the ceiling falling apart. Fine, they were getting very freaked out. Some of them started putting on tzitzis and started wearing yarmulkes. They didn't know what's going on over here. But they decided to go to the Telzer Rav. The Telzer Rav said, what do you want from me? I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm a Rav, but I can tell you one thing. He said, if somebody committed suicide in the attic of that place, mistama, some of the dam, some of the blood is embedded in the panels in the attic, and it's towing kfura, and it needs a burial. He says, if you take out the planks from the top, and you give them a proper burial, everything should be fine. So they go, these maskilim, you know, these Rosh and Marushas, and they make a funeral procession for these planks. And Baruch Hashem, they can continue playing poker over there, nothing. But you know what happened, unfortunately, afterwards? Their yarmulkes came off. Their tzitzis came off. Because the boogeyman was gone. And once the boogeyman's gone, hey, but what do you mean? What happened over here? Didn't you see what the rabbi knew? Didn't you see that he understood? Yeah, but whatever. We have to live a little bit. And a lot of times we do this too. It's not that we are lacking in our emunah, in our trust, but the ramifications of the reality of Torah and mitzvahs actually requires a person to become a bigger person. Because if the chachamim were so big, so having a dialogue with them in morning seder, in musar seder, in whatever they're saying, is going to force us out of our tininess. And that's something we have to keep in mind, which is that we have to want to listen to Chazal. We have to want to go into their world. That's a world that's so big, so infinite, that just to touch it is already making a big person. So now the question is, though, for this week, is what do we have to believe? Meaning last week, we talked about the importance of trusting in Chazal. Now the question is, what do we exactly have to believe about them? What is it? If you tell me what I have to think about Rabbi Akiva, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Ravina, Rav Ashi, all the Chachmei Mesorah, what am I supposed to think about them? So we'll try to get into that a little bit. And you can't start learning without knowing this. I know it's a little late. People are old already, but better late than never, as they say. And that is that one of the Kinyani HaTorah, one of the Memches Kinyani HaTorah, the 48 ways of acquiring Torah, is called Emunas Chachamim, which means it's a prerequisite for starting. Torah is having Emunah and Chachamim, but what am I supposed to believe? I'm supposed to believe that they could turn me into a bunny? You know, it's like scary things like that. What in the world am I supposed to believe? So, a lot of times a person comes to learn Torah, and they come, and I hear this from people, and I'm sure you hear this, and they're coming, and they read a Gemara, and they're reading, you know, Rav's, or Rava, or Ravashi saying this, and goes, I don't know what he's talking about. I would say differently. We're having a, you know, there's a serious disagreement between Bob and Ravina and Ravashi. He's like, he's crazy. His mom is, he's off his rock. I don't know what the man is talking about. This is nuts. He's nuts. He's pasha nuts. And you know what? They have a point. I have to admit you to you. Sometimes you start a Gemara, and you're looking at this. It looks totally bizarre. It looks totally distant from you. And then the person just comes, and it's now in the boxing ring is me and Ravashi. You know, we're going at it each other. That is not how we learn Torah. That is not how we learn Torah, because basically what's happening now is what I've made is there's Ravashi and me, we're buddies, and it's his opinion and my opinion, and then there's nothing here. Why don't we just write our own? We could write our own Gemara for the same money. You know, if he has an opinion and I have an opinion, but what's the answer to that? If I really think it's so distant, so strange to me, so then how do I get over that? How do I deal with that? And the answer is very simple. That fakert, it's the opposite. If you would think that the Gemara wouldn't surprise you with its ideas, if you would look at a Gemara and nod all the time, like, oh yeah, then we would have serious trouble. You can't learn either. The goal of the Torah is to teach you things that you would have never known had Moshe Rabbeinu not gone up to Har Sinai and brought things down. They are supposed to look to you at first glance to be things that you never would have thought of. You think Hashem needs to give you a Torah that any third grader level of morals and ethics and this are in there? Of course it's in there, but that's the tip of the iceberg. The Torah is always coming to surprise you, always coming to challenge you. Take your Balabatish approach to life and reshape it and make it more sophisticated, make it divine. So the first hanacha, the first understanding is, when I'm approaching Rav Ashi, imagine you come into Albert Einstein, and he goes, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? And he goes, E equals MC squared. Like, whoa, chill out, man. Like, say hello, like, this is a weird guy. He needs to be committed. You have no idea what E is, you have no idea what M is, you have no idea what squared, you're out. That makes him the Meshuggah? No, it makes us the Meshuggah. Because the pshat is we're disconnected to something that's much, much greater than us. Every Gemara has to be starting with Akasha. Not Akasha like, he's crazy, I don't know what happened to Rava today, what's going on with Abaye, but the Akasha is my life right now, where I am, and the Gemara are distant from each other. And the Akasha brings out an opportunity for me to figure out how I can get closer to their reality. The whole goal of learning is to bridge that gap. Of course it looks crazy. And then the goal is a person gets a kinyan in Torah, he rides the wave of wherever they're taking him, and eventually he becomes somebody with Das Torah, with a level of understanding of life, of ethics, of law, that is simply divine, simply lamala from anything that we could imagine. But it starts off with a process of trust. To begin the dialogue, we have to know who's in front of us. There's a very strange Gemara. And we're saying that Gemaras are strange. We're going to bring an example of a strange Gemara. A Gemara that insults us, and I'm asking no one to take this personally, what the Gemara has to say over here. But the Gemara tells us the difference between the earlier generations and the later generations. Amar Rebbe Zeira Amar Rava Bar Zimuna. Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the Rishonim, the earlier generations, are like angels, Anu B'nei Anashim, we're like the sons of people. Vim Rishonim B'nei Anashim, and if you'll say that the earlier generations are like people, who are we like? Anu Kichamorim, we're like donkeys. Okay. Then it says, "Veloki chamoro shel Rav Chanina ben Dosa." Don't think you're like the donkey of Chanina ben Dosa. I know you guys. Oh, I'm a donkey, but at least let me be like the donkey of Chanina ben Dosa. And don't say you're like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. You're not like that either. Rather, you're like Kshar Chamorim. You're like a regular donkey. Wow. So you read a Gemara, Rabosa, we're all donkeys, but we're not donkeys with a kippah on their head and payas. You know, Pinchas ben Yair's donkey was very frum. He didn't eat from forbidden things, from things that were usher, and he didn't eat from stone things. We're not even like those donkeys. Why are Chazal insulting us over here? Let us be at least like, if we're going to be a donkey, fine, but let us at least be a very Jewish donkey. What is so terrible? What bichlal is going on in this Gemara? So the pshat is pashat. The pshat is that Chazal are telling us, if you want to understand the difference in generations, and you want to understand the Chachmei Mesorah, you have to view yourself as a different part of the chain, a different creation. There's an animal kingdom, there's a plant kingdom, right? There's the domain, there's the rocks, there are people, there are different classifications in the Bria. You want to know how different we are? If they're like angels, they're in the spiritual world, then the gap is they're this Bria, which is something that doesn't even have a body, Bichlal, and we're stuck in this physical realm and we're people. And if they're people, you know who we are like? We're like donkeys, but not like Pinchas ben Yair's donkey. You know why? Pinchas ben Yair's donkey had a little bit of Pinchas ben Yair's hashpa. He was a little bit higher. And we're like the regular donkeys. Imagine having a chavrusa with a donkey, right? There are people who have chavrusa problems. So your Rebbe says, we got somebody, they bring him in. You sit there with him and you're reading through the Gemara. How are you supposed to have a dialogue with someone like that? Now think how the Chachmei Mesorah, they're dealing with us. We're reading, we're like, you know, Betsy the cow is reading the Gemara. Moo! What? He doesn't even have an opinion on the matter. But you know what's even worse about Betsy? Betsy doesn't even know that she's has it bad. She's got her straw. I went with my kids, Baina's mom, and we were feeding the cows straw. They're happy. You give them straw. Betsy sits there. You know, the Gemara's not going. You give her straw. She's happy. If you say to her, by the way, Betsy, there's somebody who's bigger than you, she's like, no, everything's good over here. Those strange people, they just give me straw. And I'm just the highest thing in the world. It's a giloy on how low you are when you think that you're big. If a person thinks that Rava and him are the same, you know what it shows? Then you're really like Betsy. Right? Unfortunately, it's a big bracha. People who are mentally retarded, people who have mental disabilities, if they have them on the very high level, it's a bracha in some way because they don't even know that they're foolish. It's a bracha. If you're going to have them, to at least be on that level to not know, because it's an awful experience to understand that you're foolish, that you're stupid. But in this situation, if a person feels like they're not even missing out, like they're and Chazal are in the same camp, then it's a sign of our mental retardation. It's a sign that we are mamish the real donkey. Because Pinchas Ben Yair's donkey, he felt the connection with Pinchas Ben Yair. He saw there was some higher existence, but we're just chewing the grass. The Gemara is telling us that's who we're reading from. We're reading from a different creation when we open up a Gemara, when we open up a Chazal. And you see this. I don't even understand this Gemara Bichlal, but I'll read it to you also. I don't know what it's talking about. I couldn't even fathom what the whole rash is, what the whole panic is in the Gemara here. But the Gemara in Erevin, on Nun Gimel, is discussing how the difference of generations, Rabbi Yochanan, is expressing the difference between him and other generations. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Liban shel Rishonim kipisko shel Ulam, it's vast, shel Achronim kipisko shel Heichal, it's smaller. Va'anu, and Rabbi Yochanan says about himself, the great Rabbi Yochanan, the Gadol Hador, Kimole Nekev Machat Sidkis, like a tiny needle, but not a regular needle that's used for threading. It's the needle that's used on the hem, such a tiny needle that you can't even see. That's how hard it is to stick information into Rabbi Yochanan. Imagine a huge room, right? Then a somewhat smaller room, a ulam, a heichal, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what I am? Nothing there. It doesn't go in. Rabbi Yochanan? You're talking about you? And it was just a generation or two before? So, nothing's going in. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, who are the Rishonim? Rabbi Akiva. Who are the Achronim? Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. Still in the door of the Tanoim. Igadam Rishonim, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, Achronim, Rabbi Oshia. Va'ani kemalei nekem machat tzidkis. Amar Abaye. Abaye comes in now. The great Abaye that we talk about every day. We try to understand what he's saying. Va'anan ki sikhsa beguda legamda. I am like when you're trying to shove a peg in a wall. That's how hard is it to get through to me in anything in Torah. Amar Rava, va'anim ki etz be'isa be'kira l'svara. When it comes to lumdus, it's like me sticking my hand into wax, my finger into wax. It just doesn't go in. I can't get anything. What's going on over here? Like, if they would publicize this Gemara, no one would want to open it up. You know, like, Abaye, I thought you were somebody. I saw Gemara Erev and New Gimel. I found out you punched it. Rava, you don't know how to learn? They understood. Pshat is, they weren't like a chamor. They understood that there was a higher reality. The reason they were gedolei olam is they were so big that they knew how small they were in just a change of one generation. The difference in generations is everything. A Rebbe, a Bar Samcha, told me that he heard from a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz, the Talmud Muvok of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Brisker once said to him, he says, what do I think? Reb Chaim Brisker was known as, nobody's really sure how Reb Chaim Brisker wrote his Sefer on the Rambam. It's something that simply does not seem like a Yulud Isha could have written it. It's something that's mind-blowing. It's something that revolutionized learning. Reb Chaim didn't just write Chidushei Torah. He practically created his own Derech HaLimud. Not practically. And Reb Chaim Brisker said, "What you would like to know what I think about an Atah Chonin Ladam Das? You know what I daven for? What does the great Reb Chaim daven for? He says, I daven in Ata Choinin Ladam Das that I should understand how Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who was generations before him, I want to understand how Rabbi Akiva Eiger knew how to learn better than me. It's hard for me. Sometimes I'm in a sugya, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks the kasha, I answer it, and it looks like I know how to learn better than Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But Rabbi Chaim said, I know that's not true, which means there's something wrong. So he davens that he should understand how Rabbi Akiva Eiger was light years ahead of him. Well, I would just celebrate with the Shtickel Torah. We answered Rabbi Akiva Eiger's shaila. That's it. It's in the bag, Rabbosai. Case closed. Pshat is Reb Chaim understood the difference in Dairis. Reb Chaim understood the greatness of the earlier generations. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the side of the Gemara, when he asks a bomb kasha on Taisus, and I'm sitting there celebrating for Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes the following words often. Lo zachisi lo havin es dvarav hakdoshim. I don't understand their holy words. Ve Hashem yair enai. Hashem, open my eyes to the Bali Tosis. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, come on, let's celebrate. You just totally took out the Bali Tosis. They asked the question. No, he understood who the Bali Tosis were. He understood what the Chachmei Mesira are. He understood this matzav. And we look at Chazal, and we don't even understand what they're doing. For example, there are things in learning that we don't even touch, by the way. Drushos. Okay, there are all sorts of drushos in Chazal. Chazal are darshaning psukim, and they're getting things from them. Kimat, in the Rishonim, when you're learning a sugya, you're not going to be able to ever hear about why Chazal got this from Avav and not something else from Avav. Got this from an extra word and not this. There's such a complexity of what Chazal are doing that we don't even cover in Seder. Do you know why? It's so distant from us. Their levels of Chachma, their levels of understanding of the Torah are beyond our comprehension. I read some Gemaras, I'm like, what in the world is going on over here? And if you have Emunas Chacham, you understand that their Achiza, they're holding on, their understanding of a letter Vav in the Torah is beyond. And how they know this, that. Rove of the things, I'd say, Kimat in the Gemara can't even be discussed by us. If you would contemplate certain questions, it shows how distant we are, and that's okay. We have a bracha that we can be involved for a million years in the questions that we have access to, and we'll be busy. We'll have plenty of time. But the pshat is that that's the madrega of Chazal. The Yisod V'Shar Shavoda says that when somebody sees a drasha in the Torah, they should be wowed. I personally, I find it very hard to be wowed because I have no clue what's going on. I'm like, why is this, this, that, every Gemara. But the pshat is they knew everything. They knew levels of Chachma that we don't even know what they're called. Bichlal. We don't even know what they're called. And also, their understanding of the Bria, of creation. This is a very big Yisod. Chazal did not get things through what we call empirical proofs. They did not get things through the scientific method. The scientific method, while it's very chashuv, comes like we've been discussing and we discussed over in the time of Yavan, right? That there are ways to see things. If you take 30,000 cases of something and you document it, you can find themes. And that's exactly how science is built. And it's very chashuv. However, Chazal were able to get from the source of the Torah to know what the science would have to be because they knew the source of the science. And the Medrash says an unbelievable thing. The Medrash in Brachos Rabbah says that there was a philosopher from Rome who wanted to challenge Chazal. One time he was walking and he saw two snakes. They were cohabiting. And he decided it's a very confusing thing to know how long it takes for snakes to go from the point of cohabitation till the point of sending out those snakes. Other things are a very short amount of time. To our knowledge today, rattlesnakes, which are not necessarily the nachash of Chazal, but today a regular rattlesnake, it takes 5 years. 5 years for its snakes to come out, which requires a lot of knowledge. You have to be there exactly at the time when things were going on, and you have to basically sit with these snakes for years, right? And we're not sure what the nachash is of Chazal. I'm just bringing one thing of rattlesnake. It's something, the snakes are in a different plane of existence. So comes this philosopher, and he finds these two snakes cohabiting. He goes, now I'm going to take these things, I'm going to put them in a box, And he documented. And after 7 years, Chazal say, after 7 years, he got his snakes, and he knew. He knew exactly what had to be done. Once he met Rav Gamliel, and he says, tell me, what do you people say about when snakes give birth? How long does this whole process take? Rav Gamliel did not know the answer. And some of the Mefarshei Medrash explain that this philosopher was trying to show that the scientific method outbeats the Torah. Because he had his documentation, and Rav Gamliel, he wanted to see if he would know the answer. Rav Gamliel became despondent. Pagabo Reb Yoshua, pun of Chalonis. He says, why do you look sick? Amrlo She'ela achas nishalti v'lo yecholti la'ashiva. These wise guys asked me a question I couldn't answer. He said, what is it? He said, about when a nachash is born. So right away, he said, I know the answer. Rabbi Yeshua said, I know the answer. And he figured it out through a drasha, based on how a kelev has 50 days, and a behema tmeya has a year, and then based on how the snake was cursed at the time of the Chet of Adam Arishon. I'm not going to go into the math over here. And it was 7 years. So, good. He comes now to this fellow, and Rav Gamliel now has his answer, and the philosopher starts banging his head against the wall. He says, "Mipnei Ramsha Salak Va'amrle Hischel Metiach Roshay Lakoso." He starts banging his head. Kol Masha Malti. All of my scientific method, all of my empirical proofs. This guy Shevashanim Bozad, 7 years of my work. Voshitali Bekanechad. He puts it on a silver platter for me, because the pshat is Chazal didn't need that. Rabbi Yoshua had the koach to go all the way to the top, figure things out, and then go, this is what the way must look like. Because the pshat is, they had these sugyas arois from the beginning of creation to the bottom of creation. And more than that, there was something that was, I had a suffix in something for years, and a Rebbe of mine, an Adam Gadol, I went to speak to him, and he told me a pshat that mamish blew me away. He said, the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in the beginning of Gittin, talks about a sugya called Pilegish Begiva. Pilegish Begiva was an historical event. There was a revolt. All of Klal Yisrael were fighting, and it started out with a woman getting kicked out of the house. We're not going to get into the details. And the Gemara talks about a shtickle Torah that Rav Evyasar said, and Rav Yonasan said. Rav Yonasan said there was a hair in the soup. And Rav Evyasar said there was a bug in the soup. Fine. But the Gemara makes a very big asik of this. It says, in Shamayim, Hashem was learning the sugya. And he says, Evyasar, my son, says this way. And my son Yonasan says this way about the hair and the bug. And then the Gemara asks, well, what happened? What happened over here? And they said they were both right. There was a bug and there was hair. Okay. So I was very bothered. For years I was bothered. Why is this called Torah? What's the big deal that Evyasar got this? Or Yonasan, maybe they had a Mesorah, they had like a historical, like, father to son, that the hair was what did it, or the bug was what did it. Why is Hashem quoting them as if, Kilu, they had this great revelation? This bothered me for years. And I spoke to a Gavra Rabba this week, and he told me the following awesome Nakuda. He said that in Tanakh, all the stories are trying to teach certain lessons with absolute precision. And this story, since it's in Tanakh, had a message that was clear. He said that Evyasar and Rav Yonasan were able to go up to the top, all the messages of the story of Pilegish Begiva, and conclude unequivocally that there must have been a hair that this lady was kicked out for, and there must have been a fly that she was kicked out for. Nothing to do with history. Pashat, they went to the top of the message that Hashem was giving when this was revealed as part of Tanakh, and they were able, through the blueprints of this thing, now I understand why Hashem's quoting them. Pashat, a feat that's mind-boggling. It's not something that we could even fathom in our Metzias. The Gemara talks about a woman who has two children, one after another, who died from a bris milah, hemophilia. Even if you would look in the secular sources, it's now known that women are the only carriers, men are not the carriers of hemophilia, and it's in general going down to sons. And if you look in encyclopedias, with a gap of 1,000 years, the first recording of women being the only carriers of hemophilia is the Chachmei Mesoras. You go, wow, they were such scientific people. No, the pshat is this is a halacha. There's a halacha that if a woman has two children, one after another, and they start bleeding and they die, the halacha is that the third one, you're not allowed to mal. Of course hemophilia has to fit into that. It's not that they were sitting there testing things and running. And the pshat is Chazal needed to know it because it was part of the chelik of the Mesora. For the rest of the world, it's relevant to know that on the X chromosome, that's the only way you can carry hemophilia. And so many things are like this. Nizra Bambatia. There's a sugya about getting inseminated from a bathtub. Somebody is motzi zera in a bathtub, and this woman swimming in there, and this ridiculous case in the Gemara, which I'm sure everybody laughed at. Somehow this zera got inside of her in the bathtub, and she becomes impregnated. Do you know that this is the most significant chazal today to tackle in vitro fertilization? Chazal were probably laughed at for years and years. Their system is so perfect that as soon as IVF came, Rav Moshe Feinstein had a Gemara Mefureshes about it. How do you deal with somebody who's born without a Maisabia? How do you deal with test tubes? How do you deal with all these things? Of course Chazal had to talk about it, because it's part of the Metzias of the Bria that Klal Yisrael would need to get through the world. It's Divrei Torah Ba'atzmusam. This is something that we have to have emuna in. We have to understand. The world today is following what's called progressivism. Progressivism is the idea that the further on you are in life, the more you know. And it makes sense. You know, this one wrote a book, and now we slug it up. Then this one writes a book, or we at least touch it up. So they feel that the later you go, the more you know. And I understand from their perspective down here, if it was all about documentation, then yeah, then the further you go, the more you have. But people are becoming smaller. People are becoming smaller. Reb Baruch Ber said that there's Yeridas HaDeiros by Goyim. There's a reason why there aren't great philosophers today by the Goyim. People don't know how to do that. They can make a lot of gadgets, even in the medical field, more and more toys and more useful toys. In Echonami. But they're just sitting there, you know, like a little kid with their train set, just building more and more toys, and the humanity chelik, the greatness of the people, is not there. Chazal could have done all of this, but they had something called chachma. You know what chachma is? It's not just like, wow, if we have something really cool that's good for humanity, let's just throw it in there. They actually thought about what they were doing. The Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport, had plans for the first helicopter, and he showed them to the Chafetz Chaim. You know what the Chafetz Chaim said? Throw them away, rip them up. This kli is going to be used for destruction, and you're going to be responsible for it. But it's so cool. It becomes so famous, and it's so practical. You can get so many places from this with this thing. They weren't living in that tininess. They were living in an olam of avodas Hashem, of what a person's supposed to do here. That was how they were covering things. The Chazon Ish, I heard from an Adam Gadol, had the cure for cancer. Why didn't he give it to the world? Wow, that would have put us on the map. The Chazon Ish said he had a mesora that if this machla would be taken away from the world, the next machla would be so horrific, there would be no way to deal with it. It would totally take apart the entire world. It's better to be stuck in this stage and not advance to the stage afterwards. What kind of cheshbonos are these? These are cheshbonos of people who have a path, people who have a mahalach, people who understand where things are going. Today, we know based on neuroplasticity, there's an idea that the brain reshapes itself, that people who are reading books from Kindles and the like, their brains have become more shallow. They can't do analytical thought because over time, from all the balagan, checking the thesaurus and going on the site to comment about the things, people are not able to concentrate anymore. And studies have shown that people simply can't think. The chizuk is, by the way, that if you get off this stuff and you go for a while, your brain reshapes itself. It's part of the Pella of the Bria. You can learn how to learn a Reb Kiva Eger. Over time, your brain will reshape itself. But Chazal for sure would have seen this. Say, what are we gaining? When the Chafetz Chaim was told about the train, they got so excited. Rebbe, I heard this from a Rebbe of mine. He said, do you know what this thing is? It can take us so far. Chafetz Chaim, they were trying to get him excited. He's like, what's the big deal? Like, you don't understand. You know how fast you can... What's the big deal? What do you mean, what's the big deal? By the Chafetz Chaim, it wasn't a mile to go fast. Who needs to go fast? If the Abishter wants me to go slow, I'll go slow. What, so I can get there quicker? So then I'll just end up doing a lot more craziness. Today, we're doing everything fast. You know where it's gotten us? We're just totally insane from all the fast things. We can't even do it. We can't even think about anything. A lot we've gained from all this. Chazal were not impressed by these things. But today we feel we're so sophisticated. We've arrived. In a letter, the Chafetz Chaim says, wow, we went really late today. Mechila. But the Chafetz Chaim said it bothered him why the trains were created. And he finally concluded that the only reason he could think of the trains being made is that it's simply hard for people today to learn in a wagon. It's too bumpy. And Hashem created trains so that people could think clearly while they're on the road. We should all be zeicha to think like the Chafetz Chaim.